Well, it's a good morning. Wow. Well done, George. Longtime friend right there. He's a lot older than I am. I'll give you that. Yeah. God good? You sure? Okay. Well, I hope you are sure. Trying to get my act together here this morning. Hey, welcome from Fiji. What a wonderful trip Ryan and I had to go and set up our trip. That we've got 12 people going in July to the nation of Fiji. It's going to be very exciting. And we have we've set up all our training times over there, and then we're going to have some nights where we're going to be just going after miracles, signs, and wonders. And they're excited over there. We're excited here. I have to give you a personal testimony. I haven't taken a trip out of the country for 5 years. A lot of that had to do with COVID and then two surgeries. And it was so good to have my feet on the ground again of a place that God's given us to have some authority in. And I'm very thankful for that. That was really cool. But one of the personal coolnesses for me was that I haven't walked long distances and pain-free in probably 15 years. And we walked all over the place, and my legs never, never hurt me. It was wonderful. I mean, absolutely wonderful. I just was kind of thrilled all the time, you know. Didn't matter what was going on everywhere around me. I was just excited that I could walk again. It probably doesn't mean anything to some of you, like, but to me, when it's been pain for many years, it's a huge, huge breakthrough. Okay. All right. We sang Spirit Breakout. Really? Do you really? Really? Oh my goodness, we have no idea most of the time what we're singing. Right? And some of you who weren't here yet when we were singing that, doesn't excuse you. Because you walked into the atmosphere of our singing and committing to Spirit Breakout, right? Don't be afraid of it, though. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of whatever the Spirit wants to do among us. It does change us. It does impact us. It causes us to think and act differently. It affects our schedules. It does all of those things. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the Spirit breaking out, of giving up so that He can do what He wants to do. Just a little aside there, since we sang it. Okay. So I want to just talk real briefly this morning. I want to get to this baptism. I just can't wait. We've got some people just willing and ready to get and get in that nice warm water. Should we pray for the heat to come? Spirit, start right here. Start right here. Bring your heat, Lord. Bring your heat. But I do want to talk about something this morning that some of you are going to just go like, well, man, I've always known that. What on earth is he wasting my time for? And others will go, oh, wait a minute, I forgot about that. So it's pretty simple stuff this morning, but I hope that it will cause you to remember. And that's exactly what I want to talk about, the power of remembering. Do you remember? So what does it mean to remember? What it means to be reminded. Men, we understand this one. Husband, we know this one. We got this one. When our wife says, do you remember what day it is? We go, oh yeah, I remember. Right? That's a kind of remembering. When we are reminded of something, we remember. In Deb and I's relationship, there's only one of us that ever forgot our anniversary. And it wasn't me. Can I hear an amen from the men? But she says, I didn't forget, I just didn't know. If you want a little insight into the mind of a woman, there it is. I didn't forget, I just didn't know. See what I'm saying? So what does it mean to remember? It means to be reminded. It also means to not forget. We remember because we don't forget it. This is actually the way God remembers his covenant with us. He never has to be reminded of his covenant. He remembers, always has it in front of him, his covenant with us. Isn't that good news? Another way is to remember in a way that causes us to relive the reality of what we're remembering. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you feel the emotion, you feel the experience all over again as you remember it and you bring it to mind we were just in Fiji, as I mentioned, and we were sitting with a new couple we just met. And I was sharing some of the story of how we ended up in Fiji, how we got there in the first place. And as I was telling the story, I was reliving that story. Tears were coming down my face. And I was watching him. I was watching like, is this guy just going to think I'm just an emotional crack? You know? Or is he going to be gripped by the story? Thankfully, he was gripped by the story and didn't think me a fool. But in those moments when you're telling, reminding yourself, remembering the stories of what God has done, of what you've experienced in life, and you remember those things, that's the kind of remembering that brings that all back up again. You feel the emotion of it, and you experience it all over again. What does it mean to remember? It means to remember in a way that causes us to relive its reality. In other words, it's to remember that so that the recall affects our actions and our choices and changes our mindset. We remember something that we have forgotten or we have not fully embraced. And when we remember that in its reality, my life changes now. Now things will be different and I will act and think. I will think differently because I remember something I forgot. I mean, know what I'm talking about? Maybe I need to talk to these back here. Oh, there's rocks. I'll let the rocks cry out. Come on. Do you remember? Help me remember. You know what? You don't fully embrace, you trivialize. And when we trivialize something, we forget it until we're reminded. And because we forget it, we act differently. We think differently. But when we're reminded of those things and we remember them again, we change who we are and how we live. So let's look at a couple of scriptures. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. As you know, Lamentations is the lamenting of the prophet Jeremiah. He's complaining about his life, and he's had a tough one. The nation of Israel, he prophesies three times to the nation of Israel what's going to happen, and they reject his prophecy. In fact, they throw him in jail because they don't like his prophecy, and three times his prophecy comes to pass. So he's a man who understands rejection, all that kind of stuff. But in chapter 3, we see this whole idea of remembering. Chapter 3, verse 17, you have moved my soul from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Then he says to the Lord, remember my affliction, my roaming, the wormwood and the gall. What's he saying? He's saying, God, don't forget what I'm going through. Remember what I've gone through. How many of you said that prayer to the Lord time or two? You know, don't remember the hurt and the agony and the disappointment, the discouragement, the journey I've been on. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. What is he saying? God, I want you to remember because I can't forget it. I can't forget these things that have happened to me. How many of you have been there? I can't forget the rejection of the people. I can't forget what they did to me as I was simply trying to do your work. So don't forget God, because I can't forget. Then you get to verse 21 and everything changes. I love this. This I recall to mind. A different word for remembering, it means to recall. It means to bring to mind. It says, I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. He says, I suddenly remember something. I remember what I had forgotten in the midst of all my troubles. What I had forgotten in all the disappointment and all the discouragement I've been walking through. Now I remember something, and it changes the way I am and the way I feel. I've been thinking about the facts. Now I need to remember the truth. And when I remember the truth, my soul is restored, and the things that have harmed me cannot defeat me. So he goes on and says, this is what I remember. Though the Lord's mercies we've not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. What did he do? He remembered something that he'd forgotten, and it changed his whole perspective. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. You don't mind if I use scripture this morning, do you? Is that okay? I mean, I just never know anymore. Is that all right? Okay, yep, I have your permission. So, Mark chapter 8, verse 13. Jesus says, he left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Jesus said this because we have no bread. Jesus is concerned that we don't have enough bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened, having eyes you do not see, and having ears you do not hear? And do you not remember? Do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 12. Also, I broke the seven for the 4,000. How many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? He says, 7. I can feel them cowering because they're starting to remember that Jesus did more with less. So the less they have, the more he can do. And they began to remember. They said, 7. And he said to them, how is it you do not understand? How is it? Don't you get it? But they couldn't connect the present circumstance and their need to the history with Jesus. They didn't understand because they didn't remember. The power of remembering. So this morning, I want to talk about three truths to remember. That when we remember these in the way that they cause us to live differently. To never forget. To constantly reflect on these things. These three truths will keep us living in victory. I'm telling you. That will be a shield against ever being defeated. You don't like that? Okay. You like being defeated. You like that. So I'm going to give you three truths that will help you to live so that you are never defeated. I think that's pretty good. I don't know if you saw that picture of the Iron Dome working in Israel. Over 300 drones and missiles were fired at Israel. And the picture is of this dome that was designed for them that shoots up into the where all these are coming from, and it shoots them and disperses them. Over 300, and very few got through, and very little damage was done. It's the Iron Dome. This is kind of what I'm talking about. Ephesians 6 says this, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of the armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our Iron Dome. So after all of that, I'm going to give you these three truths. You want to hear them? You know, I don't have time. I'm sorry. Took too long introducing it. It's time for baptism. Yeah, that's what my mom used to call me. All right, we'll try to do three. We'll probably only get to one today. Three truths. Here they are. You ready? I am not alone. Say it with me. I am not powerless. I am made for this time, this place, and this assignment. Let's try the first one. I am not alone. Say it with me again. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Do you believe it? See, the enemy's plan is to convince us that we are in this stuff of life all by ourselves, right? We're not known, we're not seen, we're invisible. How many of you at some point felt like you're just invisible? Nobody around you knows you, nobody around you sees you, nobody cares about your hurt, nobody cares about your pain. I'm in this thing alone, I'm in this fight alone, I'm in this crisis alone. You can be alone in a crowd, right? You could be in this place this morning with this crowd around you and feel all alone. Fighting the battle by yourself. These feelings can be your personal reality. And you can actually point to circumstantial evidence that proves you're alone. You hear what I'm saying? Right? Somebody unfriended me on Facebook. They never answer my texts. Nobody cares. And it's true. Yeah? Because you think it's your reality. And you have evidence. You've piled up evidence. You've made a list of why you feel alone to prove your aloneness. But these feelings of being alone, this perceived reality is dangerous. Adriana Rodriguez, in her article in USA Today in December 2023, wrote this. America has a new epidemic. It can't be treated using traditional therapies, even though it has debilitating and even deadly consequences. The problem seeping in at the corners of our communities is loneliness. Loneliness is detrimental to mental and physical health, experts say, leading to an increased risk of heart disease, dementia, stroke, and premature death. Modern conveniences have also caused loneliness to expand dramatically across the population. Can you think of one modern convenience? When you're sitting at a table with five other people and nobody's talking because we're all on our phones? A Harvard survey conducted in 2020 found that 61% of adults from 18 to 25 reported feeling serious loneliness. 18 to 25, that's our young people. Compared to 39% across general population, but 39% across our population. We're walking among a people that feel alone, though we're walking next to them. And it can feel like there's no escape from this, because the evidence is around us that declares I'm alone in this fight. I'm alone in this crisis. I'm alone in this circumstances. And it is true, there are times, listen to me, there are times when it seems no one is conscious of your plight. When it seems that the people around you who should be helping you are not helping you. They don't even see your concern. They don't even see your need. Those times exist. But I'm convinced that those times are the times God is hiding your need from the people around you, in order to give you an opportunity to discover him in a fresh way. We see this in the story you know, the story of Ziklag. David and his mighty men. Now remember, all these men came to David because David drew them. And they wanted to come and fight with him. Not with him, but, you know, alongside of him. And so they came to him and saw him as their leader, and they walked with him. They went into battle with him. They fought sword by sword with him. Some of them died with him. But now they come back to Ziklag, and he's had all these wonderful victories. But then they come to Ziklag, and Ziklag has been devastated. It's where their families were, where all of their sheep and their cattle were. And he comes to Ziklag, and it's all gone. And so you have these men who have stood with David in all of the victories and stood with David in all of the fighting. But when it comes to this, they're devastated. And the men who should have been standing with David and coming along their leader and saying, listen, we're going to make it. We're going to do it. Let's encourage ourselves here. I know this thing has happened, but it's not your fault. It's okay. We're going to make it. But that instead of that, they were the men who wanted to kill him. Why? Because God hid David's need from his own men so that David could strengthen himself in the Lord and not in the men around him. You may be feeling very lonely, and you may have evidence to prove that it's true. And people around you might not recognize what you're going through. You may feel hidden from the people around you in the crisis that you're in. But God is calling you to remember, you're not alone. You're not alone. So let's never forget and always remember, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And to his disciples who, you know, they always missed a lot of things. But after the resurrection, Jesus comes to them. And he gives them their task, their assignment. It's called the Great Commission. And he gives them these things. Here, I want you to go into all the world. And then he says, lo, which means just simply, this is the one thing you cannot forget. I will be with you always, even into the end of the age. Because why did Jesus say that? Because he knew there was going to be a time when they felt alone, when the problems that they would come against would so overwhelm them that they would feel, you know, where are my friends? Where are my other disciples? Where are they? And God wanted them to know, Jesus is right there. You are not alone. You will never be alone. We may be alone because we feel like, well, because we believed a lie. Because we believed a lie. Let's go to Isaiah. I got to tell you, they make really good lattes back there. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, we're going to start verse 14. This is Zion or Israel is crying out, Lord, the Lord has forsaken me. And my God has forgotten me. And then God responds, listen to this. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? What an image, isn't it? Of the woman feeding her child from her own body. Can she forget the one she's holding in her hands? Can she forget the one she birthed out of her own body? And then God says something we all know to be true. Yes, they can. It is possible. We've seen it in our society over and over again. So, but then, yes, they can. And the image is so powerful there because it's like, no woman would ever hope, but even in that case, some can. But God says, but I will not forget you. I cannot forget you. You see, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. What did Jesus do on the cross? What did he do with his disciples when he comes? He comes in a glorified body, but he comes and he still has the nail prints in his hands. He was fulfilling this verse. He said, I'm writing you on my hands. How can I forget you? The prints are still there. Your name is still written there. I can never forget you. Your name is ever before me, and your walls, it says, are ever before me. Your walls demonstrated the things around you, your protection. It says, I've got my eyes on you. Are you hearing me? It says, I can't forget you. I've got my eyes on you. Your name's right here. Right here. You guys have tattoos. You have Gloria. And then you left Gloria. You got Susan over here and you kind of don't show this one. But Jesus took it on the cross so that he would never forget you. He would never forget you. You're never alone. Worship team, come on up. Next week or the week after, I'll do the other two. Invite somebody to come, please. All the weeks are powerful. But I'm going to stop here. I think more than anything, God wants us to know that he knows us. And he will never forget us. And he wants us to remember him. Amen. The power of remembering that you're not alone is so incredible. It'll change the way you face every day. It'll change the way you walk out of this room today. If you take hold of that truth and embrace that truth and believe his word, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and you will live an undefeatable life. If you remember, you're not alone. Ever walked into a situation? Oh my, you're so afraid of what that situation is going to be because you don't know what's going to happen. And you feel so alone. But understand, when you walk into that room, you are not walking into that room by yourself. You're not walking into that decision you need to make by yourself. You're not walking alone into that place of battle by yourself. Because he can't forget you. And your walls are ever before him. He's got his eyes on you. used to sing as a kid that song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you do," because of the help, right? The Father up above looking down in tender love. What a terrible song. I mean it. It's a terrible song. I don't know why we taught our kids that. Because we're saying, now be careful, right? Be careful, little eyes. Be careful, little hands. Be careful. Pretty soon we've got them bound. Because there's a Father up above looking down, tender love. So be careful. We need to say, there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be free, little children, be free. You're not alone. You're not alone. Let's stand up. We're going to do some baptisms now. So incredibly important. It's a declaration that says, I give my life to Christ. I go under the water and I die with him. Right? I die with him. That's what it means. I give my life and I died with him. Paul says, I died in Christ. When you come out of the water, we are raised again with him. It's a declaration that I'm not alone. It's a declaration that he's with me from this point on. It's a declaration that I belong to him. I guess the question for some in this room may be, do I belong to him? Do I really belong to him? You can answer that question right now. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who feel lost, who feel alone. Maybe you feel like you don't have any hope. He's saying, I know who you are. And I love you. See, I've written your name on my hand. And I want you to know me. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I know this sounds almost religious, but please understand, it's only religious if it's some way of twisting your arm to do something. Only if it's manipulation. I don't want to manipulate you at all, but I want to give you a chance. If you don't really know him, to say, I'd love to know him today. And if that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, yeah, I want to know him. I felt alone. I felt like I need something more. I need Jesus in my life. Come on. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please don't be distracted by the kids coming in. Just keep your eyes. Be praying. Believers, be praying. This is a point of destiny right here. Anyone else, just raise your hand. Let me know. We want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to come down here in a moment, but I'm going to ask others to join you. And those are those who you have been walking in believing a lie that you're alone. And it's time for you to stop. It's time for you to stop it and believe the truth that you'll never be alone. But if that's you this morning, you say, yeah, I've been walking alone. I've been feeling alone. And it's been affecting the way I've lived. Anybody in the room? Lift your hand. Yeah. Yeah, listen, come on. There's no shame in this. We've all been there. Yeah. 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 I want those of you who have raised your hand, whichever you've raised your hand, I want you to come down front right now. I just want to pray for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. This is your day of freedom, your day of liberty, your day. To walk with a friend that's closer than a brother. To walk with the one who has loved you more than you can ever know because he's walked with you. He's been with you and you just didn't know it. You're not alone. So would all of you extend your hands there? Ministry team, come on down and begin to minister here. Thank you, Jesus. I would encourage anyone in the room this morning that has not been baptized. You know Jesus, but you've never submitted yourself to what Christ said we need to do. Be saved and be baptized. I would encourage you that this morning you can still be baptized. This morning can still be your day. We have extra towels, and we can make it happen for you. What do they need to do? Okay, if you want to be baptized this morning, before I pray for these that have come down here, you want to be baptized this morning, you didn't come prepared, but you recognize, hey, I've not been obedient to the Lord who said I needed to be baptized and I need to submit myself to doing this, and you would like to do that, just come right over here. Right over here, Kathy's right here, and she'll help you. No embarrassment here whatsoever. It's going to be great. One night over in the other building when we were still there, we gave that invitation. We baptized 60 people that night. A large portion of them were people who just realized, I'd never done it. They remembered. Come on, they remembered. Or they remembered again. They've been baptized as a child and recognized that that commitment needed to be stated again. And maybe that's you. So if you want to do that, come right down here. We'll take care of you. We'll make sure you're not too embarrassed. Too embarrassed. Love to baptize you this morning. All right, I don't want to pray for these that are down here. They're being prayed for by our ministry team. But I want to pray. Father, remind us once again that your son put our name on his hand forever for us. Remind us that you said you'd never leave us and you'd never forsake us. Remind us this morning and let us take hold of your promises, and we submit once again. We reject the lie that says we are alone, and we walk now into your grace, into your throne of grace, and receive what we need. We declare you as Lord of our life. We declare you as the one who walks beside us and walks in us. And we take hold of everything you have for us. And we yield everything we are to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. God bless you. Wow, it's going to be a great morning. Hang in here for these baptisms. They're going to be so much fun. Who do I turn it to? Just let it do. All right. The greater
a little lineup we're going to do. So come on down right here. I got a towel for you. You brought a towel, right? I have a towel. Your mom's coming. Okay.